This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Losing the Field, a field party novel by Abby Glines, read by Candace Thaxton and Cal Wembley.
Prologue. It all started in first grade. Those crystal clear blue eyes and dimpled smile on the prettiest color skin I had ever seen. Nash Lee was the only kid who smiled at me on my first day of school. A few had snickered when I walked in. My stomach ached and I wanted to go home. I knew it was a bad idea to wear the shorts that my mama had bought me. My thighs rubbed together when I walked, and the shorts crawled up between them, showing even more of my dimply white legs. But Nash Lee hadn't called me fatty or four eyes. When the girls had giggled when I'd tripped walking to the teacher's desk to sharpen my pencils, Nash had told them to stop. When the teacher mispronounced my name every day the entire first month, everyone laughed but Nash. He began correcting the teacher when I had given up after 3 days in a row. I would soon learn that the fat, shy girl wasn't popular with teachers either. They made comments about the lunches I brought, and one told me to wear bigger shorts. In my mind, Nash Lee was my hero. He was kind, yet popular, beautiful, and a star on the football field. He had been approached by college recruiters already, or that's what the rumor was. I was sure there would never be a more perfect man in this world. Until the last day of our junior year, it all changed. Tomorrow was the day I looked forward to all school year long. Like most of my classmates, however, my reasons were different. I didn't want to escape from homework and tests. I enjoyed learning. I liked to read. I'd spent hours reading the websites of over 50 colleges I might want to attend, but I hated the way high school made me feel. I was ignored unless someone was using me to get some laughs from their friends. When the school play tryouts came around, I always memorized the lines, practiced in a mirror for hours, recorded myself, and watched it to perfect anything wrong, but no matter how good I was, I never got the part. I didn't fit. I wasn't what they wanted on stage. I was fat. I accepted it. And instead of dieting, I would go home and eat a box of cookies to make myself feel better. It was comfort to me. It didn't make fun of me. Food was where I found happiness. That and reading. I read all the time. I read so much that I reviewed books online. I had a blog that covered everything from fantasy to romance to horror. I liked it all. In my head, I was already at home reading a book, enjoying the swing on our back porch, alone and safe from the cruelty that surrounded me. I cleaned out my locker, happy that next year I would be a senior and for sure get the top locker that I had requested the past 2 years and not received. With my backpack full of the items that had collected over the past 9 months, I headed for the exit, so glad it would be 12 weeks before I had to walk back in those doors. Before I could get to the door, Nash Lee and his cousin Riker came walking inside. They were smiling and laughing, happy with life. I wondered what that felt like, having it all, being loved, accepted, wanted.
"You out of here, Tallulah?"
he asked, still smiling. No one ever spoke to me or called me by my name, no one except Nash. Last year, my best friend Anna May moved to Georgia. Since then, I was a loner. I wasn't good at being social and making new friends. "Yes," I replied, feeling my cheeks heat up like they always did when he spoke to me.
"Enjoy your summer, or we're finally seniors,"
he said, the last bit with more enthusiasm. I was sure he had a big college interested in him, and he'd go get everything he had dreamed of.
"You too."
Those were silly words, really. As if Nash Lee wouldn't have the best summer of his life, I was sure every summer was amazing for him. He'd have parties and friends. He'd go to the beach and not be embarrassed to wear swim trunks. I hadn't worn a bathing suit and gone swimming since I was 7 and someone called me Fatty Patty while I was at the local pool. I did not stand there and make him keep talking to me. I figured he was kind enough to speak to me, and so I responded and went on my way. I walked past them, and when I was a good distance away, I heard Riker whisper a little too loudly, "Damn, I hope she don't wear swimsuits in the summer. No one needs to see that." Riker then laughed as if he'd said something hilarious. I waited for Nash to scold him, to tell him that wasn't nice, to be my hero. Instead, the worst sound in the world, the one thing I never expected. Nash laughed, too. Then they were gone inside those doors and their laughter with them. However, it would haunt me. It would remind me that I had no one but my mom who loved and wanted me. Not even my father had stuck around. I had been craving my home and security all day, but when I got into my white Honda Civic, I didn't go home. Instead, I drove to the walking track at the local park, got out, and walked until I couldn't take another step. My shirt was wet with sweat. My feet ached so bad I wasn't sure I'd make it back to the car. My face was streaked with tears. But the next day I did it again. And again. And again. Chapter 1. I doubt you notice, fat girls. Tallulah. Is she new? I heard whispered yet again as I walked into the doors of Lawton High School. I'd heard that question as I passed at least three other groups of students, people I'd gone to school with since preschool. I'd often wondered if some of them even knew my name. They never spoke to me, hardly acknowledged me. I'd blamed them for so long. However, over the summer, I'd come to realize a lot of things. One being I was the one who tried to be invisible. I was shy. I didn't want attention drawn to me. Often when I did get attention, it was hurtful, and I kept to the shadows as much as possible. So if they didn't know my name, then it was because I had done nothing notable. Nothing to look back on one day and be proud of. This year would be different. I wasn't hiding now. I was tired of being the butt of everyone's jokes. I would make my senior year one to remember, one to be proud of. I was even going to join something. Maybe the yearbook staff, or possibly try out for the dance team. I could dance. That was my little secret. When I had weighed more than society thought I should, I hadn't wanted to dance in front of anyone. It was something I did alone.
"Hey, new girl,"
a male voice called out. Since I wasn't new, I ignored him. But I did glance slightly to the left to see who it was. Asa Griffith. I almost paused. He was good friends with Riker and Nash Lee. Riker I didn't care about, but Nash... Let's just say that my hurt and anger because of him were what kept me going all summer. When it was so hot, I thought I'd melt, but I walked anyway. When I really wanted some hot from the oven cookies, but I ate an apple instead. It had been revenge. Admitting it wasn't something that I was proud of, but it was the truth. I hated Nash Lee. But that hate had driven me to lose weight. Before I could think too long and hard about it, I stopped and turned to Asa Griffith. He was attractive, popular, and would be the Lawton Lions' star running back now that West Ashby had graduated. Asa gave me a flirty grin I had never seen before. Guys like Asa didn't smile at girls like me, or they hadn't. I realized how shallow they were now that I was thin. My plan for revenge may be something ugly, but so was the way they treated girls due to their weight. Inside, I was the same. No, that wasn't true. Inside, I was angrier now. I didn't know how to flirt. I was one to shrink near a corner, so I just stared at him, waiting to see what would come out of his mouth next.
"Asa,"
he said with a nod as he closed the distance between us.
"You just move here?"
"No," I replied. This question I had prepared for. I was going to enjoy it, seeing the looks on their faces when they found out they'd known me for years. He was still smiling, but he looked confused.
"Homeschooled?"
he asked. "No, Asa. We had literature together last year. Economics the year before that. In fifth grade, you tripped me in the hallway and my books went everywhere. It was an accident. At least, I assumed it was since you helped me pick up my books." That was more fun than I realized it would be. He stood there, frowning. I wondered if he even knew my name. It only fueled the fire inside me. My revenge seemed justified.
Asa!
A familiar voice called out, then a pause. I turned my head and met his gaze head on. He wasn't the one I hated. He had never noticed me before. He'd not been someone I expected to be better than that. Nash had been. But Riker Lee had been there. He had said the words, made the joke. The one that had cut deep enough to change me.
Well, hello,
Riker Lee said with a drawl. Then as he got closer to me, I saw the confusion in his eyes. Slowly, that turned to clarity. He recognized me.
Holy shit,
he muttered. I let him take in my transformation as he let out a low whistle that I found insulting. Asa said,
what is it?
He was still confused.
Tallulah, right?
Riker said when his eyes stopped gawking at my body and found my face. Yes, I replied.
Wow,
was all he said.
Tallulah.
Asa said my name as if it were familiar, but he just couldn't place it.
The summer was good to you,
Riker finally said, a slow smile spreading across his face. I wanted to say that I had, in fact, worn a bathing suit, but I held that close. He didn't need to know I'd heard him. I also didn't want to hear his apologies. Likewise, I said, although I gave him a forced smile. Have a good day, I added, then walked away. That was done. My first conversation with those close to Nash. As much as I didn't want to talk to them. Riker had never spoken to me before. Why should I speak to him now? But I had to. My plan was to be accepted into Nash's world and then completely ignore him. Embarrass him in front of his friends. Let him see how it felt. Then, when I was satisfied, I'd walk away from all of that crowd. Find a path that fit me and be happy. But not yet.
Wait,
Asa called out. I stopped walking and glanced back at him. Yes?
You're a senior, right?
It was all I could do not to roll my eyes. I simply nodded.
What's your first class?
Seriously, it was this easy? He didn't know me, had no idea if I was intelligent, had a sense of humor, had any ambition in life. But he saw how I looked in this short skirt, and that was all it took. I had his complete attention. Trig, I told him. His eyebrows shot up.
Gorgeous and smart. We've got that one together. I'll walk with you.
We had been in advanced classes together since 9th grade. Something he didn't recall, but I did. Okay, I agreed, then saw Riker watching me. I gave him a smile and little wave that I assumed was flirty before walking toward the entrance with Asa.
I'm having a hard time believing we've been in school together since elementary and I don't remember you, although your name is familiar.
For a smart boy, you'd think he would realize how admitting he didn't remember me made him seem like a jerk. I doubt you notice, fat girls. The distaste in my tone was unavoidable. I could only take so much.
Fat, he repeated. You're not fat.
I turned my head until my eyes met his. No, Asa, not now. Not anymore, but the Tallulah you don't remember was fat. Slowly, I could see the recognition in his eyes. They grew wider, and then his mouth dropped open slightly. Maybe he did remember the fat girl in the corner. My face was thin now, but it had all the same features. If he'd ever taken the time to look at me then, he'd see that.
You gave me your notes last year when I missed class for a week with the flu,
he whispered, like he was too amazed to talk in his normal tone. Yes. He stared at me then. I wondered how many other memories of me he was recalling. I let him stare. Remember the girl I once was, because that girl was nicer, kinder. This one wasn't. This Tallulah was going to leave her mark, then walk away.
Chapter 2. We All Love You Here. Nash. I was late, and I didn't want to be here. Standing outside staring at this place, all I felt was disappointment, pain, and loss. This was supposed to be my defining year. I had plans. I was a senior. I'd leave here and go become great. Football was my life. It was my future. It was all I'd cared about fighting for since I was old enough to walk around holding a ball in my hands and not falling down. And all those dreams were gone. Just like that. Over. I hadn't wanted to come back. My dad was making me. Told me life threw shit at you and how you handled it defined the man you would become. All I knew was my life was over. I didn't want to fucking handle it. I wanted to stay away from here, from what was formerly my life. All my dreams were dead. The late bell sounded, and I stood there looking. My friends had been supportive, but the pity in their eyes was almost too much. I hated seeing it there. When I began walking toward the entrance, the limp I'd now live with the rest of my life mocked me, reminding me of what I'd lost, what could never be again. The darkness in my soul was taking over. Just 2 months ago, I had been so excited about what would come next. My life was just like I had always planned it. Senior year was ahead, and with it, my chances at a scholarship at a Division I school. Riker and I had been going to go together. We were a team. We'd play on Saturdays for our family and friends to watch on television. College would be our kingdom. Riker would still have that. But my shot was done. I didn't even know what the fuck to do with my life now. Why even go to school? I'd never wanted to do anything in life but play football.
You going in there? Are you going to stand out here and glare at it?
I turned to see Coach D standing beside me. His hands in his pockets, staring at the school much the same way I had been. He was new. He'd been hired at the end of last year. I hardly knew him. All I knew about him was he was 27, had played football for Tennessee, and had a teaching degree. He was the defense coordinator on the team. Not your business. My tone was angrier than it needed to be. The man had done nothing to me, but he reminded me of all I didn't have now.
Technically, it is. I'm a teacher. One of yours, to be exact. I get to correct students. Comes with the gig, or so they tell me.
He was trying to lighten my mood. I got that a lot these days from people, and I hated it. I hated everything.
I'm already late.
He nodded.
Yeah, you are. So am I. Bad car battery this morning. But then I have a shit car.
We weren't friends. We never even played a game together. By the time practice started up, my leg was already fucked. I didn't want to be his friend, nor did I need someone to talk to. That was coming next. I could feel it in the air, thick and annoying. He'd offer to listen to me, tell me he understood, all that bullshit. I didn't say anything more to him. When he sighed, I felt my teeth grind in anticipation of the next words. His offer to listen. His small pep talk that he could shove up his ass.
It's my job, so I better go on in. You'll have to give the place death stares on your own. Good luck with that.
That was all he said. Then he walked on, toward the entrance, past me. No words of encouragement. Nothing.
That's it?
I asked before I could stop myself. He paused and glanced back at me.
What?
He looked confused. I waved my hand in the direction of the school in frustration I didn't expect to feel.
You're a fucking teacher. I'm out here and that's all you're gonna say?
He shrugged.
Sure. You want to stay out here in your own little hell, then do it. Nothing I can say to give you back your old life, Nash. Why waste my breath?
When he walked off this time, I just stood there watching him. Some would think he was a dick, but for the first time since I hadn't been talked to like an invalid who needed special care. Once he was inside, I followed him. No point in protesting. My dad would be up here ready to kick my ass if they called and said I wasn't here. He was as broken up about this as I was. He had dreams, we shared them, but he wasn't gonna let me miss school. The door was heavier than I remembered, but then all the times I had walked through it before I had been happy about things. I had liked it here. Now it was taunting me. The lion's crest on the wall with the championship banner from last year flashed like a neon sign. I'd played on that team, been a part of that victory. My chest felt like it was being clawed at by sharp talons, the lion mocking me as it loomed ahead. Once I had gotten excited about that crest, I had been a lion. "You've missed the late bell, Nash," Mrs. Murphy, one of the school secretaries, said from the office. The door was always propped open with a large box fan blowing. I turned to look at her. Did she honestly think I didn't know I was late? I'd ruined my damn leg, not my head. It worked just fine. "Here," she said, walking out of the office and toward me. The sad look in her eyes was something I was familiar with now. She knew, and with her knowledge was the pity. "Take this with you and go on to class." The piece of paper in her hands was an excuse. I took it. "Thanks," I said, simply because she was old. She'd had white hair back when my parents were in school. I was an asshole these days, but I did draw the line at being mean to the elderly. She patted my arm. "We all love you here." That was where I nodded and walked off. I couldn't take the "we love you, we support you, we're rooting for you" speech. Not this morning. The halls were empty, and I walked slowly. Not because of the pain from each step, but because I dreaded facing them. They'd all know. They'd all look at me differently. The guy I had been was no longer, and that made for something to gawk at, to whisper about. Blakely and I had been an item. Just after school ended, we had hooked up at a field party. I liked her, or I had. She was fun, exciting, and she had no problem crawling in the back of my Escalade with me. I thought we had something. But like everything else, my injury changed it all. She came around a lot at first. Then after a couple weeks of therapy, she slowly began to fade away. I hadn't heard from her in 2 weeks. I had texted her and got nothing. I saw from her Snapchats that she was living life. She just didn't have time to reply to me. I accepted it as part of what would become my life now.
Chapter 3. Just when I thought I'd get my revenge. Tallulah. 3 classes and still no sign of Nash. I hated that it was what had driven me to lose weight, that my hurt and disappointment in him had made me walk every day. Because I wanted to be proud of what I'd done. I was healthier, I had more energy, I felt confident. But I hadn't achieved all this for me.
"You decided on a college yet?"
Asa asked. Once again, he was there beside me. He'd barely left my side all day. It was annoying. "Not yet," I replied. I had it down to 3 different colleges. My ACT score last year had been a 29, and that was high enough for all the colleges I was interested in. However, I was going to take it one more time to see if I could get it up to a 30.
"I want to go to Ole Miss, hoping I can get the attention of their scouts this season,"
Asa said, looking more confident than he should. The only guy on the team I expected to get a football scholarship was Nash. The others were good, but the stars had graduated this past May.
"They've got a beautiful campus," was all I could think to say.
Mississippi was too close to Alabama, not far enough away from here for me. I was going northeast or west. I hadn't yet made that decision, but it would be far away. He chuckled as if my comment was amusing.
"I guess, but what really matters is their football program."
"Most guys here dream of Alabama," I stated the obvious. He shrugged.
"I'll never be a star there. I'd never get a chance. Too much competition."
I had to agree with him, but Ole Miss wasn't exactly easy either. Wasn't my business, so I just kept my mouth shut.
Nash, where you been?
Asa called out, and instantly my heart picked up its pace. I didn't want to look his way. He didn't need to see me looking for him. Just because my heart still went a little silly over his name didn't mean my head did. When Nash didn't respond, Asa sighed heavily.
I need to go talk to him.
I had to bite my tongue to keep from asking why. Nash was always happy and friendly. I gave in slightly and peeked in the direction of Asa's gaze. Nash's eyes were cold, or were they empty? As he looked straight ahead. He wasn't the smiling guy I remembered. Actually, I had never seen him so angry.
I'll find you later. Lunch?
He asked, moving in Nash's direction. I almost replied that I'd be in the library reading. That's where I wanted to be. But this year I was going to be different. I nodded. Sure. He shot me a giant grin, then headed toward Nash. The crowd in the hallway had almost blocked him from view. Asa fought through the bodies and I looked away. I wouldn't let Nash see me looking at him. I'd ignore him. That was the plan. To make him feel unimportant, invisible, to make him feel like I had felt. Tallulah, a female voice said, and I turned my attention to the left of me. Mary Dees, the senior class president, and one of the only girls in our class who seemed to know me, was smiling at me. Hello, I replied. She beamed brightly. Mary was always happy. She was in charge of every charity event the school held, an editor of the yearbook, and I was pretty sure she read to the preschoolers at the library twice a week. You look amazing. It took me a moment to figure out who you were. She sincerely meant this as a compliment. In ninth grade, she wrote a paper about how on Thanksgiving, she and her family went to the homeless shelter and served dinner to the people there. She explained how rewarding it was and encouraged others to do the same. There wasn't a mean bone in the girl's body. Thank you, I replied. I didn't mean you weren't beautiful before. You were. You've always had amazing hair, and those eyes of yours are stunning. I just meant you really stand out now. She paused and frowned. I think that made it worse. I am not saying this right. It's okay. I know what you mean, I assured her. She looked relieved. Good. I debated saying anything at all for fear it would come out wrong. It's just everyone is going on and on about the new girl and it annoys me. You're not new. We go to school with a lot of blind people. Yes, we do, I agreed. I'll see you later. This is my stop, she said. Then gave me a little wave before turning into the senior lit class. I was almost to my class when I felt someone's gaze on me. I turned my head and my eyes locked with Nash's. There was no gleam, no sparkle of fun. Instead, there was pain, sorrow, anger. Confused, I wasn't able to look away, but he did. He turned around and went into a room, no smile, nothing. I stood there watching his back until it disappeared into the room. Then I stood there a moment longer. What was wrong with Nash Lee? This was not how I had imagined this moment. And I had played this scenario over in my head a million times while walking in the summer heat. It drove me daily, as did his laughter at a cruel remark said about me. But that Nash, he wasn't the Nash I had expected. No flirty smile, nothing. I wasn't friends with these people on social media. I kept to myself. No one told me things. But something was definitely different. Others didn't seem to think it was odd. Asa had seemed to accept it easily enough. So what was I missing? The warning bell sounded and I tore my gaze from the now closed door that Nash had entered. Quickly, I made it to my next class before the late bell, but my mind was on Nash Lee. It seemed to always be on Nash. Just when I thought I'd get my revenge and move on, something happened and it all changed. Other than Nash staring at me for a moment, I had been all but invisible to him. Or unimportant. He'd always spoken to me in the past, always been kind. Now that I looked like the girls he dated, he had nothing to say to me.
You got this class next?
Riker asked with a flirty grin, one I was used to seeing on his cousin. Yes, I replied.
Good. It just got a hell of a lot better.
That was a stupid comment. One I was sure that worked on girls all the time, but not me. I was the fat girl he hoped didn't wear a bathing suit. I wouldn't forget that, even though he obviously had.
Chapter 4. We've been in the same damn grade since elementary school. Nash. Blakely wasn't in any of my classes. It was lunch before I saw her. She was flirting with Hunter Mackley. Predictable. He was the quarterback now that Brady Higgins had graduated. He was also a junior. Blakely didn't seem to care. Hunter saw me just as Blakely leaned into him, showing off her cleavage. It was one of her more popular features. I saw him immediately tense and withdraw from the interaction he'd obviously been enjoying. There was no way I was letting him or her think I cared, but I did. It stung. This was just one more reminder of how different my life was. Blakely and I hadn't been so damn special after all. It had been who I was that attracted her, nothing more. Now that I was no one, she was done with me. You've been hiding, Asa said as he came up beside me. I didn't look at him, but I knew his voice. I've been busy, I replied, with fucking daily strengthening workouts and rehabilitation, not that he or anyone else cared. You've been missed. I just gave a nod of acknowledgement. He didn't get it. No one got it. They still had their plans, their futures. I had nothing. Tallulah, this is Nash Lee. He's normally friendlier, Asa said, and I turned my head then to look at the girl he was introducing. I knew Tallulah. She was kind, quiet, and overweight. The girl I saw beside him wasn't the girl I remembered. She was the girl I'd noticed in the hall earlier, the strikingly beautiful blonde. I stopped walking for a moment and just stared. Was that the same Tallulah? I studied her eyes and realized it was. She'd lost weight. The face I'd always thought was pretty was now beautiful. You look good, I said to her, ignoring Asa. We'd been in school with Tallulah since we were kids. He didn't need to introduce her to me as if her new body made her a new person. She studied me a moment as if she wasn't sure what to say or do with this Nash. The one who limped when he walked and scowled at the world. I held her gaze and then began walking again. It was Asa who said something next. You know each other? Was his brilliant response. I didn't look at either of them. I kept my gaze focused on the cafeteria door. Of course we do. We've been in the same damn grade since elementary school. I replied with disgust. Yeah, but... Asa started to say something stupid and caught himself. I didn't want to do this with them. I didn't want to fucking be here. Good for Tallulah. She'd lost weight, got herself a new life, was attracting the attention of a winner like Asa. I hope it was all she'd dreamed of. Are you hurt? Tallulah asked. If it had been anyone else, I'd have snapped, because the whole fucking town had heard of my injury by now. Except possibly Tallulah. I paused, turned my head slightly, and saw the sincere concern, or was it confusion, in her expression. She may be the one person who didn't know about my accident. Not a good topic, Asa said quickly. No, I said instead. I'm fucking ruined. Then I left them there, knowing they could see my limp. That people were watching me, pitying me, thankful they weren't me. She'd been asking an innocent question. I knew Asa would give her the details, just as I knew Asa would work her until he was satisfied he'd had enough. She was too naive to be careful with a guy like him. If I had a heart, I'd warn her, try and help her out. I just didn't have enough left in me to give a shit. Besides, lessons learned the hard way were good for you. At least, that's what my dad said. Nash! Tallulah called out. I wanted to ignore her, keep going, get this living hell, also known as lunch, over with. But hearing her voice, I saw the shy, overweight girl who was afraid to be seen, afraid to speak up. She wasn't that girl anymore. She had a confidence now that she deserved. Still, I stopped and turned around. Yeah? I replied, wishing I'd just ignored her. She didn't say anything. She just looked at me, as if she needed to study me, figure this out. I wasn't a damn sideshow. I started to walk off when she took a step toward me. Her eyes had always been big and a dark royal blue behind the glasses she once wore. Now that she was wearing contacts, they were hard to ignore. There wasn't curiosity, pain, or what I hated the most, pity, in her dark blue depths. But there was something I didn't understand, and it wasn't pleasant. "Words matter," she blurted out, as if that made sense. My words mattered? Well, so did my fucking leg. It mattered. It mattered a hell of a lot more than my words. Since I had no pleasant response to that, I turned and walked into the cafeteria. Blakely was there at our table, or the football team's table. Was it even mine anymore? Didn't matter. She was there, smiling in my direction. I didn't return her smile. I had no smile to give. My appetite was gone, but it was that way most of the time now. I'd lost 7 pounds since my injury. Eating had become a chore, one I dreaded.
"She called?" Riker asked.
I turned my head to look at my cousin, who was now beside me. "No." He shot her a disgusted look. "Never liked her." That was a lie. He'd liked her just fine at the beginning of the summer. He'd said I had hit the fucking jackpot. We had laughed about it, thought it was luck. Even said she'd be a hot mom one day and definite marriage material. We'd been so damn shallow. I'm a cripple. Can't expect her to stay with me. Even as I said it, I didn't want to think it. Admitting the truth was hard. It hurt like hell. But since I'd been told I would never play football again, I had learned to accept reality and move on.
"Jesus, Nash, don't call yourself that. You're not a cripple."
Riker was upset. Didn't matter. He needed to face the truth. It was time for us all to grow up.
"I'll never walk normal again."
He frowned.
"But you can walk. You can walk, Nash. You can fucking walk. That's what you keep forgetting. That's what you need to remember."
I knew he meant well. My parents had said the same thing, minus the cursing. But it pissed me off. It was easy for those who didn't face my reality to say. They had lost nothing. Spouting positive shit was easy for them. "Don't remind me what I have when you've lost nothing," I said, then turned and walked right back out of the cafeteria. I wasn't hungry anyway. Facing Blakely and her bullshit, my friends and their acting like life was the same, was all something I couldn't handle today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today.
Chapter 5. I had always been trying to climb that dang rope and never getting anywhere. Tallulah. I watched them. I tried not to, but it was hard to ignore. Nash was different, and Riker seemed angry about it. When Nash stalked out of the cafeteria, I noticed it then. He was limping. I'd noticed something was wrong earlier, but I hadn't realized it was so severe. I watched him until he was gone, until the door swung closed behind him. Then I quickly turned my gaze away before Riker caught me staring.
Asa was busy getting his burger buried in toppings. He hadn't noticed any of it. I wanted to ask. I was missing something. Two things were obvious. Nash was angry and he was hurt. That much I'd figured out.
You gonna eat?
Asa asked, finally glancing up from the burger he'd made into a mountain. Yes, but we aren't at the salad bar yet, I replied. He'd held up the line, working on his burger. He smirked.
Takes me a while to get this baby right. A burger is a masterpiece, a fucking work of art.
I glanced back to see Riker still standing where Nash had left him. He was glaring toward the door as if he wasn't sure what he was going to do next. Go after him or just let him go.
Nash isn't handling it well, Asa said. Riker's worried about him.
I turned back to Asa. I'd been caught staring. Might as well not try and cover it up now. What isn't he handling well? I asked.
Asa frowned. His injury. He won't play football again. Changed his life in one bad tackle.
He shook his head.
It's not fair. I hate it for him.
The limp was more than a sprained ankle, apparently. It won't heal? I asked, thinking they sounded a bit more dramatic than it appeared. Nash was just limping. He'd get over that eventually.
He's as healed as it's going to get.
I started to ask exactly what had happened when Riker stepped between us.
I can't talk to him. You go,
he said to Asa.
I want to fucking knock some sense into him. He's getting worse rather than better, and that...
Riker shot a disgusted look over at Blakely.
She isn't helping, heartless bitch.
I'd never seen Riker Lee angry. Much like Nash, he was always joking, smiling, and enjoying his life. This was all very different. The summer hadn't just changed me, it had changed the Lee cousins, too.
He needs time.
Asa sounded like he knew what he was talking about. Riker sighed.
I wish Brady was here. He listened to Brady.
Brady Higgins had been the quarterback, all-around good guy who was loved by one and all, but he'd graduated in the spring. I wasn't sure what college he'd gone off to. I didn't keep up with that kind of thing, or anything for that matter. Since I didn't even know Nash had been hurt, that was kind of obvious. My world outside of school was a small bubble. Me, my mom, my books, my house, not much else. Although I knew my mother hoped that would all change for me this year. She was a social butterfly. My hermit life bothered her. But then, my mother was 5'5", 118 pounds, with a bubbly personality and a head full of blonde curls. She was wildly creative and upbeat. Our oddly painted house was testimony to her personality. People loved her. She was hard not to love. I wasn't my mother. Many times in life, I'd wished I was.
Just give him space. Today is hard. It's like he had to face it all over again. He needs time to adjust.
Riker finally sighed. His shoulders drooped and he looked defeated. The obvious love and concern he had for his cousin was touching. For a moment, I almost forgot that it was his cruel words that had caused this new me. That I had suffered cruelty from the one guy I never expected it from, and that was all because of Riker. Standing there, I reminded myself not to feel pity, not to feel sympathy, not to feel, because he hadn't felt that for me. He didn't even know who I was or remember what he had said. I was that unimportant. My defenses were back up. My moment of weakness ended. I had a purpose. I would enjoy this year. I'd live it like I wouldn't get another because the truth was I wouldn't. This was the last year of high school. I had me to worry about, not an injured Nash Lee. So his girlfriend broke his heart. Well, boo-hoo, he'd broken mine. I was sure he'd also broken dozens of hearts. Now he was just getting a dose of it himself. And poor little Riker Lee, his world wasn't perfect. He couldn't enjoy himself because his cousin was sad. Guess he'll figure out life ain't roses after all. I plastered a smile on my face. Excuse me, I need to get my salad, I said, and stepped around both of them. Walking away, I felt empowered. I wasn't letting my softness win. I was tossing their troubles aside and going to enjoy my day. My year. Okay, so I felt like a bitch. But again, whose fault was that?
Ugly words, cruel words, laughter at my expense. They hadn't lost any sleep over it. They forgot it even happened moments after it was said. While I was walking in the heat of the day and drinking a gallon of water daily and counting my calories, those words and that laughter haunted me. No, I wouldn't feel sorry for Nash and his injury. So he didn't get his college football career. Well, it could be worse. He had a brain still. He could do something else. And Riker acting like he needed to be sheltered from the pain of disappointment, they both needed a dose of reality. Neither had experienced it until now. They should try going to P.E. and knowing it was the day everyone had to climb the rope. The P.E. teacher was going to stand there and watch everyone, use his stopwatch to see how fast we could climb the rope, see who could get to the top, and know that I couldn't move an inch up that rope. Everyone would see me hanging there, wishing I could climb even a little. The snickers from the others would make my cheeks red, I would start to sweat, and my stomach would feel sick. I'd wish to be anywhere but there. The P.E. teacher would tell me to try harder. I could do it. But I couldn't. My arms would never be strong enough to pull my weight up that rope. So I'd give up, humiliated, unable to look anyone in the eye. Giggles and whispers would grow louder. The teacher would tell the others to stop, but it didn't go away. I never forgot. That was my life. I'd always been trying to climb that dang rope and never getting anywhere. Not once did Nash or Riker worry about me. I fixed my salad, I got a cup of water, and I went outside to a table to be alone. Because right now, I wasn't exactly happy with myself, although I knew I was right. I just didn't like the way right made me feel.
Chapter 6. There is no light in my future. Nash. I tossed my book bag onto my bed and glared at it like it had done something wrong. I was home on the first day of school at 3:15 in the afternoon. This was a first. I should be at the field house, changing into my pads, making bad jokes with my friends, practicing in the heat until I vomited. That was what I was supposed to be doing. But I was here. In my living nightmare, with absolutely nothing to do. There was homework, reading that was mandatory, physical therapy in an hour, bullshit, bullshit, and more bullshit. "Hey, baby." My mother's voice startled me. She was normally at work until 5. I turned to see her standing at my door, concern, pain, and a trace of hope in her eyes. She wanted me to be better, to find happiness with the way my life was now. "Why are you home?" I asked, already knowing the answer. My mother, who never took off from work or left early, was here because of me. "Oh, I took off early. Thought I could make you a chocolate cream pie before you go to therapy. Maybe talk about your day?" Her voice was cautious. She didn't want to upset me. I'd been a pill to live with this summer. Since the accident, at least. "Not hungry. My day sucked." She had wanted to hear something else, something positive. I didn't have anything positive to tell her, though. Not one damn thing. This was our reality. She needed to deal with it. "It'll get better," she said softly. She wanted it to get better. She hoped it would. My mother was an eternal optimist. I had been one, too, once, but not anymore.
"No, it won't. I'm not going to run again. I'm going to walk with this limp. I'll never play ball again. So, no, Mom, it's not going to get better. There is no light in my future."
Her shoulders dropped, her face sad. I hated that it was me making her feel this way. But I just didn't have the energy to make her smile. She liked to be happy. I did too. But that wasn't happening again. It was all gone.
"You sure you don't want some pie?"
One thing about Mom was you couldn't completely knock her off course. She held on until the bitter end. As for me, she hadn't let go yet. "Therapy is hard.
It hurts, and if I eat pie before I go, I'll vomit during therapy. More reality. More truth. More of what she liked to pretend wasn't happening. Okay, well, I'll make some for later. It can be a treat for after. I'll be in the kitchen if you want to talk. I'm always here to listen. Thanks, I managed to say, simply because I hated hurting her. She started to leave, but then stopped, came into the room, and hugged me tightly. I love you. I won't let you give up. I'm your mama. I will never, ever give up on you. You've got a big future, Nashley. A huge one. This is just a stumbling block. It'll make you tough, stronger, and more determined. I just nodded and hugged her back. She needed to believe it, and I let her. No reason to make her as miserable as me. When she finally let me go, she patted my cheek as if I were 5 inches shorter than her, rather than the 5 inches I towered over her. Do your homework. Focus on your grades. You'll do great things, she said, then left the room, finally leaving me to my peace. If I could think like my mother, maybe I wouldn't be so damn miserable. Today had been a slap in the face. From seeing the guys I'd played ball with laughing and cutting up like we always had, to seeing excitement in the halls for Friday night's game, to seeing Blakely hugged up on Hunter, all of it reminded me I wasn't Nash Lee anymore. I was just another face in the crowd, someone others would rather whisper about, force a smile at, and move on along. That was what my day was like. That was what my mother needed to hear. But I couldn't say that to her. She'd worry about it, worry about me. She'd not get any sleep. I would have her hovering more than she already was. Keeping all that inside was how I had to deal with it. I was standing at the window, going over all this shit in my head, when my dad's truck pulled up outside. He should be at work until 7. But here he was, just like my mother, coming home early, to ask me questions I wasn't going to answer, to give me another pep talk. I wasn't in the mood for this. Grabbing my car keys off the bed, I headed for the back door, away from the kitchen, away from the way my dad would enter the house. Once I was safely outside and I knew he'd entered the house, I hurried to my Escalade and left. Dad would call me once he realized I'd left without saying anything. He'd bitch. I'd listen. Then it would be over. I still had 45 minutes before I had to be at physical therapy. I had nowhere to go. Nothing to do. Dad had suggested I get a job. It was more than a suggestion. It was a demand. I could go put in some applications. That would at least give me somewhere to be other than the house every afternoon. Driving toward town, I saw her. Walking down the side of the street. I'd seen her today. She'd been impossible to miss. Tallulah Liddell had transformed over the summer. Even when we'd been kids, she'd struggled with her weight. Her sweet smile and kind heart, however, had shone brightly. It made her hard to overlook. Seeing her now, though, I could tell there was something missing. Pulling over, I rolled down my window. "Need a ride?" I asked, surprising myself. She paused and glanced at me. "No, I walk 5 miles every day. This is on purpose." "Oh. Well, that explained the weight loss." "Impressive," I replied. She frowned, studied me a moment, then shook her head as if she was baffled by me. "Is it? The fat girl started exercising. That's impressive to you?" Definite disgust in her tone. What the hell had I done to her? Far as I could recall, I'd been the only guy, or girl for that matter, who was nice to her. I didn't ignore her. I had spoken to her often. She'd been so timid and shy, like she was hiding from the world, but I wouldn't let her. I made sure she knew I saw her. "Got a chip on your thin shoulders?" I asked, annoyed. I wasn't in the mood for this. Why had I even stopped? She jerked her head back in my direction, anger flashing in her startling, attractive blue eyes. Yes, I do. But then, that's why I walk. Why I started. With that response, she walked on, leaving me behind. Parked there on the side of the street like I'd done something to her. Jesus, what was her deal? She was thin, beautiful, and every guy at school had been drooling over her today. Wasn't that all she wanted? Why she'd walked herself thin? At least she wasn't fucking limping around getting sympathy looks. I started to drive off and changed my mind. I turned off the engine and got out. I needed a confrontation. I had enough anger in me to take on Tallulah Liddell and her issues. With the slamming of my car door, she stopped and looked back at me. I had her attention now. What the fuck is wrong with you? Did losing weight turn you into a bitch? If that's your problem, then go eat a box of cookies. You're a hell of a lot nicer when you ate. Being thin and wearing short skirts doesn't give you the right to be rude. As I yelled at her, I wondered why I was doing this. What was the point? I didn't care how Tallulah acted. I had bigger problems in my life. She took a step toward me. Her eyes were flashing with fury now, well past anger. No, Nash Lee. Losing weight didn't turn me into a bitch. You did.
Chapter 7. She's been on Pinterest. Tallulah. That might have been an unfair statement. Technically, he hadn't turned me into a bitch. His actions had an impact on my anger, drive for revenge, and current state of mind. My health was better. My doctor had said as much. No longer was I at risk for type 2 diabetes. If I was honest with myself, that should have been reason enough for me to exercise and choose healthier foods. Instead, it had taken being made fun of by the one guy I liked. Nash shook his head and let out a hard laugh.
Really? I'd love to hear how I am to blame for your current personality faults.
He was looking at me like I was insane. I was starting to feel that way. My reasons seemed ridiculous now. Telling him that he had laughed at a fat joke about me seemed silly, embarrassing. It also let him know how much his actions affected me. No one needed that kind of power. Nothing. Forget I said anything. I snapped and started walking again, hoping he'd get in his stupid silver Escalade that I had once dreamed of riding in and drive away. Let this go.
I'm to blame for a lot of shit, Tallulah, but being unkind to you was never one of those things. I've been nothing but nice to you.
Up until that moment last May, I would have agreed with him. I kept walking. I didn't look back. Doing so meant I had to explain myself, my anger toward him. I would not do that. He didn't deserve it. After a few moments and hearing nothing else from him, I chanced a glance in his direction. He was walking, no, he was limping back to his car. I watched as his once confident swagger was now one that looked painful, complicated. Even after all that had happened since the last day of school, my chest still ached watching him. Seeing him struggle like that wasn't easy. I felt guilty for being so mean, for holding that one thing against him. He was hurting, he was angry, and, oddly, he seemed alone. I knew he had friends who worried about him. I witnessed Riker and Asa today reaching out to him, but still, he seemed alone. His friends hadn't lost their ability to play football. Their lives hadn't changed. It was Nash facing that. I had been lonely most of my life. I was fine with it, but I knew Nash Lee had never been alone. He'd been king of the world, full of life, and always at the party. This was more than an adjustment for him. It was a nightmare he wouldn't wake up from. When he got in his Escalade, I looked away before he saw me. I walked on, trying not to care what I saw, not to worry about Nash or feel bad for him. That seemed impossible, though.
By the time I reached my driveway, it was after 6, and I'd walked over 7 miles today. Every time I thought I was done, I walked some more, needing to think about things, decide if this revenge thing was worth it or pointless.